There is a cleansing that's taking place. Some old hurts are being removed, washed away to the point that you're not going to remember them as you have in the past. In fact, it will get to the point to where you really won't remember them at all. There's a real spiritual refreshing that's taking place. There's some things, it's like taking a wet washcloth and wringing out all the excess water. He's wringing some things out of some people. You will be different after this service. You will be different. Instead of wondering when your healing is going to manifest, start praising God for the manifestation. The Lord says your body will lie to you and tell you that I did nothing to bring about your healing. But I say to you, by my stripes you were healed. When I walked the earth, I was healing manifested in the flesh. But now that you are born again, my healing is a manifested reality in your spirit. By my stripes, you were healed. The Lord wants all of us to repeat this. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Say it again like you really mean it. The Lord is my strength. Praise God. While our highly skilled, incredible praise team is making their way down from our highly anointed platform, why don't you please turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. What we're going to do tonight, we were going to do last Sunday night. And then, the Lord moved differently, and that's perfectly all right. More was accomplished last Sunday night in what he did than what would have been accomplished in the sermon. But a couple of weeks ago, I ministered a sermon entitled, what was it entitled? Here it is, Armageddon with the Flesh. And what we focused on in that message was, how in the world did the apostles have so much success instantly? You know, Jesus went to the cross and, you know, he died, he was raised from the dead. And we know what happened in the upper room. We know that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in tongues. And there was power, because Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. However, if it were nothing more than just needing that event to subsequently have what took place in the book of Acts, then it should be happening with all of us. Born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, well then we should be seeing the same results. But we don't. And we didn't. And there's a reason for that. And some people might think, well, but it was because they were the apostles, and so they were special. But Jesus said that if we believe the signs and wonders and miracles, the works that he did, we could do also. In the church, we are so accustomed, and when I say church, I mean the entire body of Christ, we are so accustomed to never seeing this happen. And in a church like this one, where we do believe those things could happen, well, on occasion, we do see them happen. But we're so accustomed, another way to say that would be, the norm for us is not seeing it happen. But the norm for them was seeing it happen. Why is that? In fact, it wasn't just the apostles. What I mean is it wasn't just the 12 that traveled with Jesus. When you read in the New Testament, what you see is one person after another, this happened in their lives. You know, the Apostle Paul, the same way. It was such a common thing that we look back and think, well, maybe God demonstrated special favor to people back then. But he never changes. He said, I'm God, I change not. And, you know, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. So there had to be something. And I was wondering about that. And then the Lord ministered to me that that something had to do with the Word of God. And he took me back, and he actually led me to do some research to what happened to the apostles as they were being raised. They were Jews, so what happened to them? What was different about their life from our lives? Even the life of somebody like me and like many of you, raised in a Christian home. What was the difference? Well, the difference had to do with the Word of God. Every year at Passover, the parents were expected to sit down with the children and teach again the story of Israel being delivered out of Egypt. Well, you couldn't just say that God told Moses that we were supposed to sacrifice animals, and we did, and we were supposed to eat part of it, and then the next day we got delivered. No, you had to, who's Moses? We had to explain who Moses was. You had to explain what was Egypt. Who was Pharaoh? You had to explain all the details of the Passover lamb, and we had to apply the door to the, or the blood to the doorpost and so forth. Well, then the question, you know, well, how did we go to Egypt? Well, you had to keep going back and back and back to explain this whole story. So the parents had to know the Word of God. They had to be able, granted, remember now, it wasn't written in chapter and verse like what we have. So they had to go back and recount the story. And this was, even if mom and dad had like 8 children from ages 4-month-old up to 15, every year, these kids are hearing this. Every year, they're hearing this story. And then along with that, when the Jewish boys, well, actually kind of back up a little bit, when a child was 3 years old, the child was taken to the rabbi. And the rabbi, now we're talking a 3-year-old, okay? So 3-year-olds, they can walk, and sometimes they can talk clearly, but they understand better than they can speak, usually, a 3-year-old. But the rabbi would give the child a slate, which nowadays we would maybe compare that to a blackboard or, you know, a whiteboard that you write on. And modern days, today's, we have like iPads and those kind of things. But he would give the child the slate. Then he would take honey and put it on the slate. And he would tell the child, now take your fingers and smear the honey all over the slate. And then he would say, okay, now lick that honey off your fingers. And the child would lick it off. And the rabbi would say, may the word of God be as sweet to your lips as this honey. Well, David was remembering that when he wrote Psalm 119, 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. That wasn't just a happenstance random thing that he made up. He's thinking back to his youth. And he, even though he was, we don't know for sure how old when he wrote this, he was thinking back to what happened when he was 3 years old and still declaring, God, may your word, it just, now to this day, I see it sweeter as that honey that the rabbi gave me. When the boys, and some of the girls too, but the boys for sure, when they reached the age of 5 or 6, they started attending a school that would be attached to the, like a synagogue. And they were taught the law. And this teaching was expected to be reinforced in the home, because that Jewish boy's dad had gone through the same thing. So every day, The kids, they would go to school. They'd be in school 5-6 hours a day. And the focus of their teaching was the Word, which back then, originally, it would be the law, then the law and the prophets, the law, the prophets, and Psalms. But they would teach these boys the Word. And they were expected to have the first 5 books of the Bible memorized. And what would happen, you know, the rabbi would read to them. And even if they were young, you know, 5 and 6 years old, they still don't know how to proficiently read, but they would repeat back to the rabbi what was being declared to them. And oftentimes a rabbi, I mean, he didn't even have to, like, read it, but, I mean, he would, but he didn't have to. Because as a rabbi, his life was consumed with the Word. So he really could stand up and just quote portions, just repeat it to the kids, and then they would repeat after him. And then there would be times when he would call on one of the students, you know, tell me what Moses said, you know, what we'd put it like this. Repeat Deuteronomy chapter 3 to me. And then the child would stand up and repeat Deuteronomy chapter 3. Well, how many of us could do that? I'll be the first to admit, not me. I'm good with that one verse, Jesus wept. All right, I've got that one down. And I do pretty good with John 3:16. But I think you understand what I'm getting at. And so they kept hearing this every day, day in and day out, day in and day out. And as these boys were learning this, up until the age of 10, the only what we would call textbook that was used was what we call the Bible. They had the law, the prophets, Psalms, and all, that was it. That's all they had back then. Until much later on when we had the New Testament, but then it was a whole different system of education. So up until age 10, the only textbook was the Bible. Now, they did teach the kids other things. There were aspects of the sciences and mathematics and so forth. Things were taught to them other than the Bible, but the Bible was the focus. It was the thrust for these kids. And so here you have these apostles. Jesus comes on the scene, and these are grown men, and he goes up to some of them and says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men, and you know the story, how it went. He goes to Matthew, the tax collector, follow me. And these guys begin following Jesus, but every single one of them had a lifetime history of the Word. It was in them. When you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, times when Jesus would confront people, especially the religious leaders, and he would say things like, have you not read? Or when he would say something like, what is written? And then they would repeat to him. They didn't have to try to find it. And you know, they didn't have a concordance. They didn't have software. They didn't have anything like that. They knew it. And that's why Jesus could look at some of these religious leaders and say, is it not written such and thus, and yet you've corrupted this? Well, they didn't like it that he called them on the carpet about that. But what's so amazing, though, is that everybody knew what he was talking about. When he was, the Sermon on the Mount, he said things like, you have heard it said. And he starts saying what they've heard. Everybody knew that. Yep, that's what we've heard, all right. That's what we were taught. The apostles, everybody. Then he turns around and says, but I say unto you. And he starts teaching something they hadn't heard. That's because he's introducing concepts of the kingdom. And so here he's teaching, and everybody can relate to it. And everybody, now here's this, everybody was in agreement with it. And what I mean is this, when he would quote scripture, they knew it. They knew what he was saying. And the religious leaders, if you remember, there's a place, I don't recall the scripture passage, the chapter and verse, but it talks about how the religious leaders were listening to him to see if they could catch him in his word. Well, what they were doing is waiting for him to misquote scripture. They were waiting for him to say something that was not true so they could jump up and say, that is not what God said. But he was always right. And that's one of the things that frustrated them. He was always right. So they had all this word on the inside of them that they could quote, that they could rattle off. They knew it. The apostles knew it. The 70 that went out two by two, they knew it. The 120 in the upper room, they knew it. All these people knew the word. They knew it. It was in them. It was just this storehouse. It was a file cabinet just crammed full of the word of God. The problem was they did not have a born-again spirit that was compatible with the life of the word. So it's in their soul, if you will. It's there. It is alive as much as it can be in them. Then they get born again. And the moment they get born again, that born again spiritual life in them can now make a connection with all that word that has been stored on the inside of them, waiting for years to join with the life of God. And so here they are, they get born again. The life of the word can now merge with the life of their spirit, and because they know the word, they know it, they now have an understanding and a comprehension of the word like never before. If you remember when Jesus appeared to them after his resurrection, they had gathered together in this upper room, and in one place it says, he opened their understanding. And he began, he went back, if you read that passage, he went back to Moses and worked through Psalms and the prophets, reminding them of everything that was said. Now, he didn't quote all of it, but he would have said something. And if you remember, the psalmist David wrote what we would say in Psalm 37 and then quote from it, Psalm 94, Psalm 96, Psalm 47, but they knew this. But now, as he's reminding them of all this, there's something in them that understands it in a way they had never understood it before. In other words, boom, the light went off. Like, oh, now we get it. Now we understand. Then, on the day of Pentecost, they get filled with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told them, when the Holy Spirit, who's the Comforter, comes, he is going to teach you all things. He is going to guide you, lead you into all truth. But he's also going to put you in remembrance of what I've said, because everything Jesus said stored on the inside of them. So therefore, the moment they get born again, the moment they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and Peter stands up. If you go back and you read in Acts chapter 2, just start reading there. When Peter stands up and he delivers his sermon, he's making reference to a whole lot of scripture. And you think, well, how do you do that? Because it was in him. But now the life of that scripture is coupled with the life of God's, of his, you know, born-again spirit. And so as he's delivering this, he understands it better than he ever has before in his life. And it's alive. It's working in him. The Holy Spirit is now working with that word that's in him. And they go about doing everything that Jesus said that they would do. It all goes back to the word. It all starts with the word. And so what happens today is, as Christians, we have this, it's like we hear preachers, you know, I'm guilty of this too. We hear preachers over the years that talk about, well, you need to be born again, and you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need that unction, that anointing from the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues. And God said that, you know, yeah, you're going to receive power. So when you're filled with the Holy Ghost and all this, you know, there's the power is there. And we're like, yeah, glory to God. Hallelujah. Now I've got the power. Well, that's great. But guess what? We need the word. We need the word to go with the power. And that's where the problem comes in. We've got the power. That's not the issue. But until we have an understanding and a comprehension of the word like never before, we're not going to begin to see God move through us the same way he moved through people in the book of Acts. Were they born again? Yes. Were they filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes. Are we born again? Yes. Are we filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes. So what's the difference? The word. They had the word in them in a way we don't. Now, is that our fault? Well, partially. But at the same time, I do not know, like I shared when I ministered this sermon, I do not know of one Christian school today, anywhere in the world, that emphasizes the word to the same degree the word was emphasized for those Jewish boys growing up in those schools. How many homes, and I'm guilty of this, but how many homes emphasize the word the way the word was emphasized, the way the parents were told to emphasize the word in the Old Testament? I mean, I didn't do that. And it's not like I didn't have a Bible to read it, to know this, but I didn't do it. It was my fault. I should have done it. There is something about getting the word sown in us. Jesus made the statement, the sower sows the word. And then he went on to explain how, and I'm paraphrasing, you need to guard yourself because Satan comes immediately to steal the word. Well, he can't reach in you and take it out. But what he can do, what he wants to do, is get you so distracted by other stuff that the word lies dormant on the inside. But Jesus also went on to say that those who hear it, receive it, study to understand it, apply it, so on and so forth, they bring forth fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. It goes back to the word. For us, this is what we have to come to this place of the word. Now, you're in Matthew chapter 7. Now, before we read, I want to emphasize, I am not diminishing prayer. I am not diminishing worship. I'm not diminishing fasting. I'm not diminishing any other aspect of what we do. I'm not diminishing anything else we see in Scripture relative to conforming to the fullness of the glory of Christ. But what I am emphasizing is the Word. This is what God's wanting to get across to us. Now, in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Now, if all you had were these two verses that we just read, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them," and then you see what the results will be like, what would be the logical question? What are his sayings? You can't do what you don't know. So what are his sayings? Well, in this passage, we could go back to Matthew chapter 5. We're not, but we could go back to Matthew chapter 5 and start reading everything that he said. That's a starting point. And if we continue on in Scripture, we understand that Jesus spoke as God gave him direction. We understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for everything about our lives. Then we know that if we take the Word of God and we build our lives on His Word, He says, your life is like a house, and when the storms come, the winds come, the flood, when the attacks come, guess what? You're not going to fall apart. You will stand strong because you're founded upon the rock. What's the rock? The Word. Think about the Apostle Paul. You know, he wrote about all this stuff that he went through. You know, perils of the countrymen and perils of robbers. I was beaten. I was stoned. I was in prison. I was shipwrecked. All this stuff. And yet he kept going. Why? Because he was founded on the rock. See, the moment the Apostle Paul got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, guess what? The Word in him is now coming forth. I mean, it's as soon as he gets born again, he shows up in the synagogue and he starts proving that Jesus is the Christ. Proving from the Scriptures. How in the world can you do that? He knew the Scriptures. In another place, Paul talks about how he went to the school of Gamaliel. Now, the school of Gamaliel for the Jews would be like us going to Harvard. It was like the ultimate of the ultimate. You did not get into that school unless, for one thing, you knew the Word of God. And so here's Paul. He's not yet born again, but man, that Word is in him. Then he gets born again. He gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and instantly he is able to prove from Scripture Jesus is the Christ. And he doesn't have to pull out scrolls. He knows it. It's in him. Well, in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." All things are possible to him that believeth. That verse right there, that's where the man that had the son possessed by the devil and so forth, and you know, the guy says, you know, help me, my son, your apostles couldn't do anything, and Jesus said, you know, all things are possible to him that believes. The man says, you know, I believe, help me with my unbelief. But Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes. So if we're not seeing the possible happen, guys, what does that say? We don't believe it. We may agree that it's true, but it's got to be in us. And see, that was the difference with the apostles. All that Word was in them. The moment they get born again, the floodgates open, the Word can pour into that spiritual life, and they're able. They just keep doing what Jesus said to do. The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was not a follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, on Damascus Road, Jesus says, "Why are you picking on me?" You know, and Paul says, "Who are you, Lord?" He says, "I'm Jesus." And Paul said, "I guess I better change direction here." Okay, that's the Jim Martin version. But immediately, the Apostle Paul was doing what Jesus said to do, and the Apostle Paul was never with the apostles to hear it. You know what I'm saying? All things are possible to him that believeth. Honestly, that's almost like a fairy tale for us. We want to accept it, but at the same time, it's like, well, if all things are possible to him that believes, then how come I'm not seeing all things happen? Well, who wants to admit, I don't believe? We all want to say we believe. We're better off saying, I agree this is true, but I'm not at the belief point yet so that those things can happen. Well, then over in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And too many Christians, if they don't see it, then all of a sudden they start doubting, murmuring, complaining. But we walk by faith, not by sight. Psalm 119, verse 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There it is. When Jesus said that, now think about what I've been sharing tonight. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Those Jewish boys that grew up to be apostles, they knew that to be true more than any of us. Because all their lives, they had heard the word poured into them. They sat and listened over and over and over again to the point that they were able to repeat it. It was in them. They could sit around and discuss it with their friends. It was in them. And then they get born again, and now the power of that born again life, you know, the Bible says over there that we now have that faith of Jesus in us. You go over there in Hebrews and read about it. So now that new life, that born again spirit, with that faith that comes with it, tied into all that word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Well, no wonder the apostles were so successful. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Turn over to Luke chapter 14. No, I'm sorry, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Now what's happened? Jesus has been out in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. And in Luke chapter 4, you pick it up in verse 14. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, his hometown, all right? He's back home.
And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And it was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Now, here's what's interesting. It says that he shows up as his custom was. This means this was a common thing. In other words, Jesus went to church, which is a good thing. The Word went to church. Glory to God. That'll preach. As his custom was. And then it says that he stood up for to read. Now, this was not just, you know, he didn't just walk in and then, you know, he sits there. Then here comes the rabbi. And then Jesus jumps up and runs up front and says, "I'm going to read." No. As his custom was, he was there and he stood up to read, which means he's read before. Now, here's what's interesting. Here's what went on in the synagogues at that time. The books of Moses were divided so that they could read through the entire Pentateuch, the five books of the Bible. They read through them in a synagogue once per year. And they also added portions from the prophets so that no small part was read once a year. So what happened was this. The people would come to church, and it wasn't just that the rabbi would stand up and deliver a sermon. They're reading chunks of the Bible to the people, and then after the Bible is read, the speaker would then deliver, if you will, a teaching or a commentary on what was read. So, where it says that Jesus, he shows up, as his custom is, and then stood up to read, this wouldn't have been the first time he did that. The scroll was handed to him, and he opens it. Now remember, they didn't have a Bible like we have. So the scroll of Isaiah was handed to him. And he opens it to the place where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He reads this, then he closes it. He hands it back to the rabbi. After he does that, it says that everybody's eyes were fastened on him. What's he going to say? What's the teaching of the day? Then he says, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." You want to talk about starting trouble? They'd never heard that. When he stood up and he said that, they knew he was publicly declaring, "I am the Christ, the Messiah who was prophesied." The moment he said that, they knew it. That's why when you keep reading this, you realize, and these people are getting mad. It's like, who is this guy? He's a carpenter. Who is it? What do you mean? We know him. Yeah, that's why they got so upset, because when he said that, he's quoting from Scripture and he's telling the people, "I'm the one this was written about." Well, no wonder they got furious, because he didn't have... This may be hard for some of you to believe, but when Jesus walked around back then, he didn't have a halo. I mean, okay, those paintings are wrong now. I'm sorry. He didn't have... Yeah, I know. Way to go, Brother Martin. Burst the bubble. Now, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to kind of replicate what they did in those synagogues. We're going to read the Word of God to you. We're going to put the Word of God in you. Now, those who are going to be doing the reading at this time, just come on up. And here's the way it's going to work. For those of you watching and those of you who are here, People are going to be reading a chapter. And as they get toward the end of the chapter, with maybe like the last three verses or so, the next reader is going to come up and stand and be ready to just step right up here and begin reading. We're not going to teach. We're not going to give commentary. We're just going to read, just like Jesus did. Just read to you the Word of God. So we're going to start, and you can follow along if you want to. We're going to start in Ephesians. And I'm going to begin, and then others will be coming up after me. And those who are going to be coming up, you don't have to. They're not going to be jiggling around with the microphone. Vladdy, he'll increase or decrease the volume as necessary. They're just going to come up, and they're going to read. So, beginning in Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, and power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given unto me toward to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when ye ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same who also ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, in testifying in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so that ye be heard him, ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. But ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you.
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with him, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatenings, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace to be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And now go ahead and turn over to the book of Psalms, and we'll begin in chapter 1.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit, his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possessions. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him.
Lord, how are they increased that thou that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. The blessing is upon thy people. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, Who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety.
Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions. For they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. For the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly.
Well, I don't know about you. I got something out of that. I've never been in a service where anything like that has ever been done. And I'm listening and thinking. And you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, bless God, every one of us got a dose of faith tonight. That's just the way it is. Jesus said the sower sows the word, and a bunch of word has been sown in us tonight. Now, this has been good. Really good. And this is the way they did it back when the apostles were growing up. I mean, ever since they first started having word to read and to teach, 2,000 years, whatever, I mean, that's the way it was. And we've experienced a portion of that tonight. I can't speak for you, but I liked this tonight. This was really, really neat. And those of you that came up to read, wow, praise God. Thank you guys so much. I mean that. You blessed me. You blessed us all. And you know, I don't know, my imagination, I'm imagining there's a great big smile on God's face tonight. His word went forth. It will not return void. It will accomplish what He sent it forth to accomplish, and it is alive on the inside of us. Praise God. I say, may it bear fruit in our lives. Everybody, please stand.